I'm Bruce Worsen, pastor of His Place Community Church. The following message came from a Sunday morning right here at His Place.
Do you whistle while you work? Do you? Or do you stress while you struggle? That's what we're talking. This is a more realistic picture. This is what we talked about last week. Do you stress while you struggle? And then beyond that, what do you think others would say? You know, you might think that you're doing okay, but, you know, let's be honest. You need those people around you. And last week, we learned to power through our problems by seeing them through a positive perspective that made frustrating failure part of a process that led to faithfully finishing. So, of course, in that way, we can learn to consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters. Whenever you face trials of many, many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith eventually produces perseverance, right? Like, that was a good message. It's good. It just helps us to get through it. Like we already learned last week, our faith in the future helps us endure the problems of the present, right? And so this is kind of part two, but that faith teaches us to trust in an unseen context that will one day make everything that we're doing right now worth it. And it's that, think of it like delight from a distance that we learn when we gain that new perspective of delayed gratification, which is not something that we want to learn, but it's good for us to learn. Delayed gratification. And so that's all true, but it makes you wonder, why does Peter say it like this then? He says, rejoice inasmuch as you participate, present tense, in the sufferings of Christ, so that you may be even more overjoyed, future tense, when his glory is revealed. Okay, that seems kind of strange there. He says rejoice now and then get like even more joy later. Peter makes it sound like we shouldn't just consider it joy, but actually experience the emotion during our difficulty. And so, I mean, we were mainly talking to Paul last week, so let's check in with him. Paul, is that correct, Paul? And Paul says, well, rejoice in the Lord always. And so you say, always? I mean, like, always, always? I mean, there's a time to weep and there's a time to laugh, but, well, I'll say it again, says Paul, rejoice! Now, let's do it. And here's why. Because always rejoicing does not mean that we can't cry. That's not what he's saying. But it does mean that there is nothing in your life that can't be turned into joy, since there is nothing in your life that God can't use for good. Amen?
Amen.
So if you would like to actually actively enjoy your adversity while it's going on, we need to add another F word to last week's F words of frustration, failure, faith, and finishing. And you know what that word is? That's fun. We got to have some fun, right?
Yeah.
Guys, this is summer. I'm going to need you to engage a little bit more. We need to have a little fun, amen?
Yeah.
Okay. Ooh, that was a good one. Let's do that for the rest of the way. Because joy is a spiritual fruit that we are supposed to produce in the present, amen?
Yeah.
Maybe I'm going to do that this sermon. Look out. Gee whiz, though, right? Embracing struggle for a future reward is one thing, right? We can look at it and say, oh, it's coming, and that's why I'm going through all this work. But delighting in difficulty while you're drowning just kind of seems delusional, doesn't it? I mean, how on earth can frustration and failure simultaneously be fun? And you already know the answer. You already know this because I want you to just think of the last time that you chose frustration and failure to have some fun. Because you do it all the time. We all do it all the time. In fact, it is one of our favorite things to do to unwind from work is actually more work. You know what we call that? Games. Games. That's fun, quote unquote, even though the whole time it's stressful and it's going to fall over and it's a lot of, oh my goodness, right? Games are a game changer because the whole purpose of a game is to transform adversity into enjoyment, right? It is something that is hard to do and can be seen as like frustrating and stressful, but we like it. And so just really seriously, I want you to take a minute and think about it, all right? Think about all the games that you play, that we play, that you watch. Real-world financial frustration, for instance, is made fun by Monopoly. right? Like, you hate paying your bills in real life, but you're like, oh, let's have some more bills as a game. And then frequent failures become meaningful motivation when Super Mario makes it part of a process for saving a princess, right? Normally you'd be like, I'm just going to give up. But you're like, no, I got to save that princess for whatever reason. And as we've proven here in this house, trivia nights transform test anxiety into a problem-solving party, because that's all it takes. And here's why. It is a fine line between frustration and recreation, because the difference is determined by our perception alone. That is it. That is it, right? It could be hard work or it could be a game. It just depends on how you see it, which makes a positive perspective a top priority, because frustration steals our strength, but recreation restores it. And I don't know if you know this, but I mean, like, it's right in the word. The word recreation itself comes from the Latin verb that means to refresh and restore, invigorate, revive, or as the name literally says, to recreate. You see? It's to recreate. It's to, like, really just bring you to life. And yet, even our most exasperating endeavors, the ones that seem to take the life from us, even the most exasperating endeavors can be seen as refreshing recreation. You just got to shift your perspective. And if you don't believe me, we'll ask an expert like Mary Poppins. Mary Poppins, you trust Mary Poppins, she wouldn't lie to you, right? And she is the one who said, in every job that must be done, there is an element of fun. You find the fun and snap, the job's a game, right? And every task that you undertake, well, it becomes a piece of cake. A lark, I know, you all want to sing it, don't you? I mean, a lark, a spree, it's very, whatever. It's very plain to see that a spoonful of sugar helps the medicine go down. Right, exactly. So that's it. It's true. You just have to see it. You got to find the fun, and boom, all of a sudden it's a game. So my question really this morning is your faith fun yet? You know? Is your faith fun? Be honest with yourself. Really, how do you see it? Because it all depends on how you see it. If it's a set of difficult disciplines that discourage you every time and interferes with what you really want, if you came and you said, oh, I gotta go to church today, a little bit of a problem with the perception there, right? Because it's like, I would rather do something else. No, in that case, your faith will only frustrate you. It gets in the way of the stuff that you want to do. But if you see your faith as a lifelong challenge that encourages you every time that it pushes you to do one degree better as you increase your experience and find those new levels, well then, yeah, faith becomes fun. Faith can be fun in that way. You just have to see it like that. And since faith is how we embrace our adversity, if we can just make it a game, just like this one that I'm gonna patent this thing. I promise it's gonna be so much fun. We're gonna play the game of faith. If we can just make our faith into a game, then we can smile while we struggle, right? Because that's how we engage our frustration. And after all, old Mary Poppins is just singing about what we already do. We all know this, because focusing on fun changes unpleasant chores into enjoyable challenges. Okay? And you know this. Every parent knows. Everyone who has ever parented knows this as well. I remember my dad, parents use this all the time. Like, let's make a game of cleaning your room. Clever. And it works, because we're suckers. But my dad used to convince me that mowing the lawn was just completing a giant coloring book. To this day, when I mow a lawn, I'm like, I'm so good at staying in the lines. Like, it worked. And I would go out there and be like, oh, let me mow the lawn, because this is fun. And my grade school teacher did the same thing. She didn't make me mow her lawn, but my grade school teacher made me see arithmetic as a race to win every single morning that we did these timed tests. It would be like, it's time for the mad minute. She'd deal them, and I'd go, okay, get in the zone. I'm going to do this. And secretly, I'm learning. I didn't want to. I thought I was just playing a game. And then my mom is the best one of all, because she put a hoop above my hamper to trick me into believing that dunking my dirty socks was some kind of score to celebrate. She's like, ha ha, you're doing laundry. Gotcha. cut to later on, my wife's going to put a hoop above a lot of things. She's going to be like, look at that. Anyway, this whole idea that we already know, we do this to ourselves, we do it to other people. It's called gamification, right? It's exactly what it sounds like. It's gamification. It's making something that's like a chore into a game so that you enjoy it. And lately, in an effort to, believe it or not, I'm not in perfect health. I've been trying to get in better shape. And so I've tried to gamify my health by using apps to make the frustrating disciplines of rest and exercise more fun. For instance, you'll see back here, 3 days left to hit my target of 50 consecutive days. I got 47 days in a row, guys. 40. Yeah, that's right. Oh, stop. 47 days in a row. And it's so stupid. This thing has no real value. But I look at it and I'm like, I'm going to get that 50. And as soon as I get it, look, 100, 365. It's anyway. And then you level up. And here's my favorite part is every time it's like, look at that. You hit level 8. You hit level 9. You are better than 78% of other users. That motivates you. You're like, yeah, you start walking around going like, better than you. I walk further than you. I walk further. That's the terrible part of me. But anyway, it's that competition. And my sleep habits have been so terrible that I got a sleeping app that gives you a little character to help like encourage you. And it decided I was a penguin for some reason. And so every morning, look, I got a good score. So the penguin is neutral. But if I get a bad score, that penguin just goes, and I am going to bed on time just to please that little penguin. That's how stupid we are, though. It's like, I can just, that's it. It's all it takes just to make it a game, just to make my penguin happy. I will go to bed early because we just have to give it some sense of game, some sense of accomplishment to make it fun. That's all it takes. So yeah, I'm compelled now to increase the quality of my sleep to please my penguin. I get up early to go on walks to keep my streaks alive and earn more badges and outdo others. Because gamification turns discipline into delight. Just by using like our progress and giving us rewards and competition and then victory. You know, it points us like, if you just keep going, here's the victory. And it all does that just to keep you motivated. And it works. And it's so simple. And in the exact same way that we use things like health tracking apps or other fitness games to gamify training for physical health, you know, to motivate us, Paul says spiritual health also comes from finding some way to get ourselves to train. We got to train for that spiritual health. He says, train yourselves to be godly. You know, you got to train yourselves to be godly. For physical training is of some value. But godliness has value for all things. It holds the promise for both the present and the present life and the life to come. Right? So this is like a very important, it's like find that way to get motivated. And so it is no wonder that whenever Paul wants to share his motivation to get other people motivated, the way that he lives his faith out, he frequently puts his perseverance into a gamified paradigm. He usually uses racing or like boxing, but he starts off always with racing. Like think of it as a race, as a game that, you know, like racing. And he says, I have made myself a slave to everyone to win as many as possible, all for the sake of the gospel, right? That's what I am doing. Now, however, you know, see it this way. Do you not know that in a race, all the runners run, but only one gets the prize? Okay, so like in that way, see your faith that way. So if you can see it in that gamified sense, then maybe you will run in such a way to get that prize, right? Just really see it. It's not just whatever. It's something to actually win. Everyone who competes in the games goes into strict training. And that's what we need in our faith. So therefore, I do not run like someone running aimlessly. Or, you know, maybe you like boxing. Maybe that's a game that's more your speed. Well, I do not fight like a boxer beating the air, right? No. I strike a blow to my body to make it my slave so that I myself will not be disqualified for the prize at the end of the game here, okay? So all that to say, listen, if it's working for Paul and it works in our daily life, well, then we need to take our cue to gamify our perspective and find the fun. So snap, our faith is a game. So what we're going to do here is we're just going to take a look at like some principles of gaming and how they transform our perspective and try to apply that to our faith on a daily basis. Okay? You with me?
Yeah.
All right. Okay. All right. See? 1 point. Now, if I gave out points, you'd all be like, I'm going to be louder next time. So maybe I will. Games change frustration into anticipation through the joy of exploration. Right? It's just, it's a fun part. It's like there's a lot of these open world video games where they're just vast. Like you don't even, they're just like the world. You just can walk around and find these quests to go on. So see your faith as a treasure hunt, right? Not a to-do list. See it as a treasure hunt, something that you're out there exploring. Because have you ever been treasure hunting? You know, like even like the old guys with the metal detectors out on a beach. I've been that old guy. It is thrilling. You should try it. It is awesome. If you go out there, the fun is not in the finding, because it's usually just like a bottle cap or something. But the fun is in the wonder of what might be found, right? It's what could be there. That is what life is meant to feel like when we wake up asking, what is God going to show me today? You know, what am I going to find? What is he going to put in front of me? Because frustration turns into anticipation when that's your perspective. And Jesus invites us to enjoy the journey through the mystery by faith. He says, ask. He says, ask. Oh, yeah, you know, give over to the wonder, the exploration. Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened. You know, go explore. Because as God has promised, he said, call to me, and I will answer you. And I will tell you great and unsearchable things that you do not know. That's the prize. There's some cool stuff. And that's because God's truth, God's rewarding, incredible, awesome truth, isn't mastered. It's discovered. Right? It's not something that we come up with. It's something that we find. So God's word unfolds like a board game, revealing all these new levels with each step of faith. You just keep growing and seeing how big this, you know, how far it goes. And every single obstacle that we ever experience in his word or out there in his, or this world, his world, it's designed on purpose to be explored with the joyful anticipation of discovering an explanation, of saying like, there's going to be some payoff to this whole thing. As we're told, the kingdom of heaven is like treasure. I mean, that's it. The kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field. And when a man found it, well, he hid it again. And then in his joy, he went and sold all that he had and bought that field, right? He is out there and he's like, I'm going to win the game. So to enjoy your adversity, instead of whining about all the work in your daily difficulties, live your life like you are on a quest to conquer this world with your Bible by your side as a treasure map and not a textbook. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Okay, number two, here's another way that games work. Games change pain into payoff through the joy of explanation. Right? It's the solutions that you get, like those along the way when you're struggling, then you figure something out and you move on to the next level. It is awesome. So see your struggles as an investment in the eternal by trusting that all of your hard work is just part of a temporary process with a permanent purpose. Okay, and this is another one of those things that we do it all the time. We already know how this works, these temporary things with a bigger purpose. In fact, I proposed to my wife with an hours-long scavenger hunt. Like, it was aggressively long. It was one of these. I put, and there was a lot of, what, like 10 presents along the way. I had to make it so good that she couldn't say no. You know, I had to be like, oh, what an experience. At the end of it, she was tired and thankful. And I'd be like, so maybe marry me? And she'd go, yeah, you've beat me down. And so it was this hours-long scavenger hunt. And it was not to make it difficult, but it was to make it delightful, right? Like all of these fun surprises along the way. And every single gift that she got along the way, I wrapped them because we wrap presents. And why is that? Because payoffs require a process. Right? Payoffs require a process, and games use effort to elevate excitement, right? You build up to something, and then it just, oh, it just feels so much better. And the great news is, so does God. So does God. We are building up right now for that big payoff. We glory in our sufferings right now. We love them right now because we know that suffering produces perseverance. Perseverance, character, and character, hope. You know, hope for a payoff, hope for that future. You get to enjoy that hope now, living in that anticipation. And we know that's true because everyone who asks receives, right? There's a payoff. You don't just have to live in the ask. It's coming. You get to receive it. The one who seeks finds. Eventually, it's going to happen. So you get to enjoy it along the way. Life is just a series of spiritual puzzles that are hard at first, but they are so satisfying when they are solved. And there's so many steps along the way. You guys already know this. I mean, we start in Sunday school and here we are, right? They keep getting more complicated, but more satisfying the more we solve them. And so each trial that God gives us is just our training ground where challenges equip our character with faith, right? Like that's what we are building each time. It just keeps bearing out because answers that you get just hit home harder when they have been earned through obedience and endurance, right? You remember that. Someone can try and give you a solution all day and you won't ever hear it until you go through the process and earn it for yourself. And then all of a sudden you love it and it's valuable to you. And that's because it's the glory of God to conceal a matter, right? The glory of God to conceal a matter, but to search out a matter and find it is the glory of kings. And that's us. That's who we are called to be. We get to go, oof, glory in that. And when we know that that's how it works, when we know that God hides growth in the daily grind, you know, of these games that we're playing, well, we can enjoy life as the experience that we need to receive that explanation that we want. The solution is coming. So each step that you're taking, you're just a step closer to that solution. And that is a fun time of anticipation, just like in a game. Number three. Games change irritation into cooperation through the joy of connection. Okay. Now listen. If you don't know it yet, know this now. Faith ain't a solo quest. It is a team campaign. It's why we fellowship. It's why we built a church. It's why we're all here. It's why we call it, you know, an assembly of people, right? This is what we do. It's a team campaign. And team games force us to find the value in those who otherwise we might strive to tolerate, right? And so, for instance, this is kind of another bad example. I'm picking on my wife this morning. I don't know why. I'm so sorry. I love you. But my wife, if you know her at all, and I mean at all, like if you've ever spent more than 5 minutes with her, you may know she has a competitive streak, okay? Like you might just throw something in the garbage and she'll be like, could you do it from back here? You know, like it's just always. She has a bit of a competitive streak. And it has ended a few family game nights early. And so in trying to figure out a way past that, I secretly got on Amazon and I stocked our closet with every group game that I could find. You know, like the co-op games where you win together or lose together, like all as one on a team, just so that like, hey, we won or we lost. And that's how it was. And when we started playing those, finally, she could see her loving family. She could see her loving family as faithful supporters instead of bitter rivals, which Monopoly has been banned from our household because my wife is the best mother I've ever seen in my life. But I have never seen her dress down an 8-year-old for making a bad trade. She's like, you're going to give him Park Place? That's ridiculous. Question your life. And I'm like, okay, it's a kid. It's all right. Anyway, no. She's gotten so much better at it. Oh, what have I done? That's right. Yeah. Congratulations. Anyway, but she's come to see us and love us again as people on her side because the same traits that frustrate us in an enemy empower us in an ally. And to be honest, she just reminded me that right before I came up here. She said, I heard that first service. She goes, remember, I'm a great teammate, but I'm a much worse enemy. And I was like, okay, so fair enough. And this is all because we need to remember the body is not made up of one part, but of many, right? And so therefore, encourage one another and build each other up, because you're going to need them to do the same. We're all in this together. And yet we tend to forget that life is harder when we're on our own, just because cooperation can be challenging, right? Like, it's hard to work with other people. We all remember that from grade school. When you're in the group, it's tough. But deep down, we all know inherently that sharing victories makes them sweeter, right? Like, there's something different about that. Like, doing something together and getting to celebrate it together is much better than being in the basement and beating a level and going, nobody to share it with, right? Sharing victories makes them sweeter, and sharing losses makes them lighter. This is why we're all in this together. We need to see it that way. And spiritual maturity means seeing the people around you as assets, not adversaries. Right? They're not working against you. They are working together. So don't try to play this thing alone. Join the campaign. That's what we're trying to do. We're trying to get you plugged in. You come here because we want you guys to be part of each other's lives. Join the campaign and try to see everybody else as teammates. Teammates who are helping you train as you connect and compete and support and celebrate all together as one. That's how we got to see it. So get that through your noggin. And then number four. Games transform failure into victory through the joy of completion. Okay? Again, you know this. We always have to have something that we're looking at down the line. Above all, if we want our faith to be fun, we got to see life as a game that we play to win, because we're supposed to win. But if you have ever played any video game ever in your life, then you know you rarely beat a level on the first try. Right? I remember when the first Mario came out, you just keep falling down the same hole over and over and over again. So just remember that in your life. Remember each failed attempt that you have in life, in your faith. It's building skill, and it is strengthening your strategy, and it is bringing victory into view. You are getting closer with each failure. You're getting a little bit further in the level. And this is the way that Paul sees his faithful effort ending like a game. And he sees it ending like a game that we're expected to win. It's been built for us to win. He says, I have fought the good fight. There's that boxing. He's like, I fought the good fight. Or if you like, I finished the race. Either way, I have kept the faith. That's what he's saying, right? However you see it, just I've kept the faith. That's the game that we're playing. And Paul made it to the end, right? He beat the faith game despite his failures, of which he had many. And it's all because he knew, he looked forward, he knew at the end what victory meant and what we were supposed to, that we were supposed to win, because God did not appoint us to suffer wrath and lose. He didn't appoint us to suffer wrath and the pain of losing. No, no, no. He appointed us to win, aka to receive that salvation, right? That's the prize that we're pushing for. So you got that win coming. Just keep your eyes on it. However, at the same time, let's be totally clear. We never win on accident, okay? You never just accidentally win. You don't just, you know, hey, it just happened. No, no, no. Victory is the reward of faithful repetition. It's something that we have to do over and over and over again. This game has a lot of levels, and it goes on a long, long time. Like we said last week, life is the longest experience any of us is ever going to have, and it's the whole time. You ever heard of the game Fold It? Probably not. Fold It. It was years back. I heard about this in some magazine or something. And it's awesome. Okay. Fold It was a game that was developed by scientists at UW, right here, actually in University of Washington. And it was an app that gamified science by having players solve these complex protein struggles or puzzles. Well, they were struggles to figure out these complex protein puzzles by making it into a game. And because thousands of users produced millions of failures, they cracked an HIV enzyme structure in 10 days that experts hadn't solved in 15 years. Isn't that something? That's so cool. That's that everybody working together. I'm telling you that because likewise, our failures, our millions of failures, should be seen as a means to the victory that is coming at the game's end. It should be seen as leveling up a faith that ends in immortality. That's the prize that we're pushing toward. Because like Jesus said, and he said it very clearly, to the one who is victorious, I will give the right to sit with me on my throne. Right? Victorious. There's no victory without some sort of struggle. And that victory comes to everyone who just plays the game until the end. That's the promise that we have, is that we get to just keep playing it and playing it and playing it, and that we end in victory. So listen, here's the truth. This is the really fun part about all this, okay? There are Bible apps that chart your progress. And there are Bible apps that track your streaks and then award you badges, just like my fitness apps, right? Like, there are already so many of these tools to help you gamify your faith. Just see it as something that's fun to advance in. And there are podcasts, There are podcasts to help push you through some of those common frustrations of faith. And there are fellowship groups that exist right here in your church to team up against your spiritual struggle so that you can connect and take it on together. And there is a Savior who has already beat the game just to give you hope. And they all exist just to help make discipline a delight so that you can find joy in your fight. Because it's there. And when you find that joy, right? When you find the fun in it, when you do, you won't just whistle while you work. You will grin while you win. So game on. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. All right, let's pray about it, guys. Father God, we love you and we thank you for allowing us to enjoy our spiritual training as rewarding gaming. And Holy Spirit, we ask that you help us to rejoice always by illuminating the fun in the frustrating parts of growing our faith. And Lord Jesus, we praise you for playing the game perfectly so that we can see the joys in our exploration, in your explanation, in our connection, and the eventual completion that we get to have when we welcome God's challenges. And to that we all said, amen.
Well, thanks for listening in. Why don't you join us on a Sunday morning? If you'd like more information about the church, just point your browser to hisplacechurch.com. Until next time, may the Lord bless you, keep you, and make his face shine upon you.